those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
Welcome, everybody. This is Room Tone, the radio show that takes filmmaking's community to your ears. And I'm Ruggero, your host. Here we are today, another beautiful day in the summer here in Vancouver, UBC, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam land on 101.9 FM radio. We are joined, coming straight from the Vancouver Asian Film Festival, Lin Lee and Regina Leong. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, right on, right on.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday for sure. That's a great way to start the week. And here we are. I just want to ask you right away, just like I usually do, who are you?
Okay, I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
I'm Lin. I am the new festival director of the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. I was born in Hong Kong, and I moved to Vancouver when I was a teenager. Very long story short, I moved away after I graduated from UBC and worked in Asia, in Hong Kong and China, for a long time before I moved back again 4 years ago. And somehow I got into the film business and met great people and met great people at the film festival. Found out about how wonderful this Asian Film Festival is in Vancouver that I didn't know about because it only started after I had left 22 years ago. And they needed a new director, so here I am.
There you go, Lin Lee right there for you. And Regina, how about you?
Good, good, good. So my name is Regina. So I am right now oversee the public relations and media relations for the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And so I've been involved with them. This will be the fifth year. I've been doing the marketing and sponsorship for the last few years. So I was stepping down, doing other projects on my own. And so I'm from Halifax. I grew up in Halifax, and then we moved. I moved to Vancouver because of the job, and I actually stayed in the States for a long time before I moved back to Canada. So what else would you like to know?
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. I see a pattern right there. I definitely see a pattern. How did the both of you get to meet each other?
Through someone who couldn't make it today.
Right on, right on, right on. There you go.
I volunteered when I moved back to Vancouver. For me, it was very much an exploration. I was trying to feel my way and find a second career. So I had some free time to myself. I volunteered at the wonderful Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden. And I met someone named Vincent Wong, who is now the marketing director of the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. And he throws parties all the time. And I met Regina and a lot of other FAF people at that party. And that's when I first actually got in touch with the festival and found out, oh, there's this thing I really should check out. And when I went to the festival, it opened my eyes, and I was so blown away that there's a festival that's actually dedicated to Asian culture and celebrating the diversity of film and the different identities and culture of Asian people from around the world.
Mm-hmm. Diversity is a word that I've heard a lot, when especially in the film community recently. And I'd love to know, how's it been going so far with the festival and the preparation and the setting up and everything? I would love to know what's the situation. How is it flowing over there behind the scenes?
Well, right now it is in full gear because our festival is coming up in November. This year is going to be November 1st to 4th. It's always a 4-day festival. And it's been going really well because this year we actually had a lot of submissions. In fact, it was a record-breaking year for us. Lots, I think there's more people from around the world knowing a little bit more about our festival. So there's lots of great films happening. And I think especially because there is so much talk, especially I guess it is Hollywood that's leading the way. People are more aware that Oscar's so white, we don't want to be whitewashed out. And so we want whitewash to be out. And so I think there's a culmination of things that everybody realizes that with diversity, the content, the stories of the film are much more interesting. And it's more eye-opening because now you realize there's really so much more in the world that we've been missing out on because it was not shown on the silver screen.
Absolutely, that's a really interesting point of view. There is a lot to that, you know. There's a lot of depth to that point of view, and I think we'll get to explore that a little bit later on as well. But I'd love to know from Regina.
Well, the festival been around, this is the 22nd year, right?
Yeah.
So that means is this concept, this diversity has been around since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of the founder, when she first discovered that's an opportunity and in North America, and then she decided to start this. And, mm-hmm. and then they've been doing it and progressive and get to this point. And I think we still continue to grow and to... build this diversity, but then on the other hand, I think that's also involved with more co-productions with not just Asians, and then that is kind of, you know, in a way to create a different environment for not just only focusing one area. Diversity is good as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, it's necessary. It's necessary. Woohoo! It's key. Absolutely. I feel that, especially nowadays, we get to talk a lot about this on this show and this podcast, and. It feels like it's becoming a necessity. It's just a matter of representation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're representing Asians through the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. Of course, there are a lot of other communities, like the Vancouver Latin American Film Festival is coming up,
mm-hmm.
and there's also the Vancouver South Asian Film Festival. You know, lots of different. Ethnic groups are also doing a lot to contribute to this, and
mm-hmm.
and I think it's just wonderful to be able to hear voices from all the different cultures.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and that's also because Vancouver itself is colored by so much.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different colors in Vancouver, so many slices of community, and that's what makes Vancouver so sparkling.
That's actually what attracted me to return.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, I was away for, 20 years, but I do come back often, and I've noticed that change. And in fact, it was only after I came back, I realized when I had left after school, after I finished college, part of the reason was back then, this was in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
I really felt, that was a long time ago, yes,
yeah.
I really felt... I was an outsider.
Mm.
I never felt that I could call this home because the culture was predominantly, you know, white, and I always felt it was subconscious. I didn't realize it. And like when I wanted to see myself, it was always I had to go to Chinatown or the now Rio Theater, where they used to play all the Hong Kong imported movies. I had to stay with my own people to hear my own voice, but slowly I have noticed that everything is more integrated, and even Caucasian people that I talk to,
mm-hmm.
now I realize they actually have the experience of growing up with people of other ethnic backgrounds, and they grow up together and they're friends, and it's all great.
Wow, so do you feel home now?
I do.
Awesome. And Regina, what is your home?
I think like in Canada, in general speaking, it's quite diverse besides Vancouver. And then, you know, in the East Coast as well, too. And it's a strange thing because I go in a small town, right? And then after that, I moved to the States. So basically, experienced like 80% of my life is non-Asian. So it's an interesting experience that I've seen when you know, was in Vancouver now. So it's a little bit different. I had a little bit of gesture at that time to compare with where I go, but I still feel like there's an in-between moment. So, and, you know, sometimes I think that, am I, you know, in the Asian area, or sometimes thinking more on the non-Asian. So I still have the feeling before, behind that, yeah.
It opens a whole new aspect of home over there, you know. What were you, the words just came out of your mouth. It's just, you know, it just opens up a whole new definition of home. And I would love to know what's your definition of home.
Wow. I think my definition of home is the place that I feel comfortable with, and I'm like living life with. That is what I see as home. It could be anywhere in in the world. It could be, and then also the family is very important for me. So like the family, where my family is, and that's that I would call that as home from my point of view.
Awesome. Lynn, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. For me, home is where I can find my roots. And Hong Kong will always be a home. Even though when I go there, there's something foreign about it by now, because I've moved away for a long time, and I don't identify with certain parts of it, cultures and behavior and all that. I think I feel so at home in Vancouver because I do have friends now. My family is here. Loved ones, you know, when you're close to your loved ones, that is your home. But I think it is where you feel you can express yourself and be yourself. That's where home is for me.
Thank you for sharing that. And with that, I would actually love to know a little bit more about your artistic background and where you come from as a human being. Who's going to go first?
Now you start.
Regina wants to go first. I can see that. All right.
Should I start with that question?
All right.
So where are you from?
Regina, it's all yours. Go for it. Go for it.
Okay. So where am I from? My ethnic background is Chinese and Japanese. And so I grew up in Canada, right? So, but then, you know, I don't want to challenge this to our audience to listen to this part, but that's how I feel that. Because this question is... can be go really deep from my point of view. And I think no matter which culture background you have, which colors of your skin you are, and I think we all live in the same planet.
Yeah, high five for that. Give me that. High five. High five in the booth. Yeah. There you go. Look at that.
So
all right,
that's
all right.
Why, that's how I feel there. But then you can always, you know, explain, you know, that where you're from could be based on, you know, your cultures that you believe and who you are. So that's all.
And was there something were you always related to the world of the arts?
Yes and no, because I do like photography type of things, and I always, this is something that I always can use that to express my artistic, you know, sense. And then, you know, when you go up, you learn to be, you know, not quite artistic anymore, and then you go working, and but deep down I still do like to do that more as a hobby in a way. And then besides that, like the couple projects that I'm talking about, is I'm more focused right now to going to a couple of the filmmaking productions at this moment. So, and that's kind of, I can express like what I have in my own perspective.
Awesome. That sounds great right there.
Yeah.
Lynn, how about you? What about your artistic background? Where do you come from?
I consider myself a closet artist.
Oh, okay.
because I have a lot of artistic inclinations. And I love the arts, be it visual arts or performance arts, film arts, everything. I'm a very balanced person. I also am very, like, extremely logical as well. So, in fact, there were some, like, personality tests where they test whether you're more right brain or left brain. I'm right smack in the middle. So I could kind of swing both ways. But I think throughout my career, I have always leaned a little bit more to the logical business side of things, management and everything. I think I'm more comfortable that way because in some ways it's less risky. I think being an artist, you really have to be super brave to be able to take criticism and, you know, do your thing and not caring about what other people say and stuff like that. I am sometimes brave in that aspect, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
My background, I loved art so much. I majored in art, but I art history.
Oh, wow.
Here. It was a lot of fun, but I had no idea what I was going to do with that degree. Back then, you know, I met a friend who worked in an advertising agency. And I thought, he gets to work with all these creative masterminds who write copy, who design posters and make commercials. And that's a fantastic job. But then he needs to, you know, plan the project and all that. So I am actually really good at that. So I actually did advertising and marketing.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Dozens of years. And then when I actually decided to move back to Vancouver, I decided I will try to do something else.
And
so that's
here
when
we are,
I came
eh?
Back to Vancouver and, you know, discovered what the city had to offer. And film was the big thing. Like every other person I know had something to related to in the film industry.
So smacked in the middle, perfect balance, huh? You said between creative and
yes.
rational mindsets. That's
yes.
I feel probably the right place to be as a film festival director, because there is so much going on right there. And
I hope so. Yes,
we will explore that a little bit later. Yeah. But I think now it's time to take a break. And this being said. This is a soundtrack that both of you chose personally for the show, and I'd love to mm-hmm. ask you why you chose the soundtrack of Crazy Rich Asians later on, right after the break. This is Waiting for Your Return by Jasmine Chen. Enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. This is a Room Tone, the radio show. We talk movies because we love it. We're joined by Lin Lee and Regina Leon from the Vancouver Asian Film Festivals. And that was the soundtrack of Crazy Rich Asians. Now, I gotta ask you, how come that soundtrack and why now?
I downloaded it last week and I've been listening to it every day. So when you asked about music, that had to be the first thing I was going to give it to you. And this is the hottest movie right now. And in the Asian community, we're super excited about how well it's doing and how well it's received. And of course, most importantly, and that's what all the media is talking about, how important this film is to representation, and especially Asian representation, because it's really been way too long since a Hollywood studio has actually backed up and produced a movie with an all-Asian cast. And it's actually Asian through and through. It's based on a book by a writer who's Asian Singaporean, Kevin Kwan. Global bestseller, and they adapted to a movie and got a fabulous director, John M. Chu, to direct this movie. So, you know, finally we're seeing Asians being represented in the right way and not just as stereotypes as, you know, the fabulous kung fu artists or
interesting
prostitutes.
So there was something fresh about that that definitely wiped everything off. How do you feel about that movie, Regina?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that song actually is kind of interesting because I think they, this movie, they picked those different songs for this movie. Mm-hmm. And
it's this kind was of the opening, wasn't it? Yeah.
And also there's a culture that, because when I first heard that song, I was like, wow, this is kind of remind me like the movies that had been done like long time ago. They used this music, but they always portray like, you know, the 40s, the Graham style at that time. So that is, that reminded me on that. And I think the Asian representation, this is something quite eyes open, like, you know, you can hear that this is 25 years ago the last time that they have that, and but I think besides Asian representations on this, and they have more in-depth story to talk about that of this movie, and I think they definitely did a good job. You know, and based, it's a definitely a Hollywood North America productions, but injected with the Asian cultures in all other type of cultures.
And I guarantee anyone who's seen this movie, you will want to go to Singapore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that an accurate representation of Singapore?
Well, it doesn't show all aspects of it, but definitely some of the best sides of Singapore, like the food.
Yeah.
And, you know, the great landmarks and the ultra-modern side of that city. Because what I typically cringe when I see a Hollywood movie, like James Bond or like even Mission Impossible or other films, when they show Hong Kong, which is like an ultra-modern city by now, they always still have to put a Chinese pagoda or, you know, some and you know, junks with people rowing manually in the farmer's hats. And I don't see that anywhere, you know, anymore. I mean, yes, that exists, but that is a tiny part of the culture, and in fact more of the history of the culture, and not representative of what is today. So that's why it was just so refreshing to see the real city, and also language. It was really refreshing to see how in the movie they actually portrayed, again, not everything, but a lot of different aspects, especially the different dialects that you get to hear, especially Singlish, as we call it, the Singaporean English, authentic.
Yeah. Regina, I'd like to ask you something, actually, related to the representation of this movie, you know, in accordance with the city of Singapore. Do you feel it's how do you feel about the representation of the city, and what are the aspects that are not represented?
Well, the thing is, actually, I never been to Singapore before, so I don't know.
There you go.
But then I can say that the other thing is just a fact. It's like, you should have dinner first before you go watch this movie, because you'll be so hungry.
Oh, yes.
That's like at least the first 10 minutes at the opening, we'll talk about like what food, different stall, different like hawker center that they have in Singapore. Then we will make
you spoiler alert.
Spoiler, sorry, spoiler. But go watch the movie. And if you love eating, that's a good movie to go check it out. So I mean, like the things that I know about Singapore is just full of like friends. So I never been there, but I know that they're very modernized country. And then, you know, they saw it really, like, you can, that's why I can say, that it's really similar with, like, a lot of American productions. Doesn't feel like, oh, some just inject a little bit of the Asian, like what we said at Mission Impossible, is that they have a little bit of the Tang in China, and then they will think, oh, this is how China look like. But actually, even in China, there's a certain area is very modern as well. So they, it's just kind of how I feel that on that.
Interesting. Yeah. It feels like the movie navigates in the thematic of tradition versus
and
innovation,
culture.
In the realm of culture.
Absolutely. Disclaimer, none of us work for Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, backstage.
Yes.
It's personal.
I understand. We can, it's palpable that there is a care behind this. I feel that it's important to explore that care because it's important. It feels like this movie, it's marking a moment. And
in fact, a movement.
Yeah, movement. Okay. Yeah. How about exploring a little bit of that, Lynn? Yeah. I feel like you wanna talk about that. What do you mean with movement?
We're just like so excited because it's really brought out a lot of people, actually, literally bringing out a lot of Asians and also non-Asians who are curious about what's this movie all about? Why is this representation so different, or what's the big deal? So it's brought on a lot of people who are simply curious, who want to find out more. And then I've been hearing a lot of comments about how surprised for them to see the culture of Asians and things that they've never known about, such as certain traditions. Like, okay, I'm not going to reveal too much about the story. So certain things that Asians, like there are scenes, very memorable scene to me, where the lead actor, Nick, brings Rachel, his girlfriend, back to his grandma's place to wrap dumplings. And that is a traditional thing that Chinese families do. Typically, you know, for a festival or a birthday party or whatnot. Yeah. So things like that are deep in our roots, but we may not actually share that. And then that was shown on, you know, through the story on the big screen and shared with other cultures. For me, I feel like I want to bring all my friends to see it just so that they can have a sneak peek at what my history, my life is about. And it's a good portrayal of what it's all about.
So it sounds like it's a precise and healthy portrayal of the traditions. Does that sound right?
Yes, and at the same time, it also talks about a lot of the clashes with how the tradition is being modernized or values of modern days. How that clashes because the protagonist, Rachel is American Chinese, so she's not as traditional, and she's been thrown into this world of crazy rich Asians, but at the same time, in a very traditional Chinese family. Mm-hmm. So that's really an interesting dynamic.
And how do you feel about that modernization, Regina?
So go back to that one.
Because it's a really
interesting remark to mention it to that. So the traditional part of that is actually because of this traditional, it's not just happening in Asia. Like as a Japanese background, they... Mm-hmm. Family get together, we'll make like Japanese sushi together to talk about, you know, like any type of special occasions and so even they will, you know, do things like this to get to know each other with newcomers or new friends and family to be in there. They do that of that. So go back to your question for the modernization. And in terms of the movie or in terms of the overall experience?
Well, I would love to know about the overall experience, actually, because I know that it's a pretty interesting topic and people, we have to talk about this. And I'd love to hear your point of view on that aspect of modernization of the culture.
Well, I think if we look at where we live now, right, and we're surrounded by heavy, like, modernized media. If you, like, go up in North America, you probably don't experience that much of the traditional size of it. The difference is how you see... you know, like we normally traditions are you respect the elders. In the modernization, you probably don't call the simple thing. You probably don't call your mom and dad as mom and dad. You probably call them then the first name.
Oh,
so that's
yes,
one
yes.
of the key things
I
that you
what
can
you mean.
See that
okay,
the differences.
Interesting.
And then like when you go to, you know, like some other family, and like maybe meet your significant half family. It's like, I think in the Western culture and the same thing, they if you call them Mr. Something or Mrs. Something, they will feel awkward in the sense of that.
Okay.
And then, you know, they will like prefer you to call them their first name.
Mm-hmm. Respect is a big thing.
It's yeah. a
respect.
Big thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
it's a little bit different, I think, the modernizing culture or even the Western and the Eastern culture. So, and you know, they...
How do you personally feel? Do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing, or does it live in the middle? Where do you stand?
I don't think it's a good thing and bad thing. I think it's more like how you adopt it into different
mm-hmm.
cultures. Like even, you know, you go to Asia or any traditional family, not just Asia, like any traditional family that you experience, it could be non-Asian in the traditional family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have their style, like, you know, simple thing, you walk into the house, you take off your shoes, like mm-hmm. not taking off your shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just the simple things I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Do you agree with,
yeah.
With that, Lynn?
I think it's a super interesting and forever discussion whether being traditional is better or modernization
mm-hmm.
is better. I think it has to be a fine balance. I think
mm.
things will change inevitably, like it or not. But you, and especially as you grow older, you realize how important tradition it is because it. It actually is what defines you, your history, your culture. And I think, especially this day and age with all our tech devices, we're almost conditioned and trained to forget about the old and constantly chase the new.
Wow, thank you for saying that. That's
yeah.
very true. Yes, yes,
isn't
yes.
Isn't it? We've always bought into this, like, I have to have the newest app. I have to buy the next iPhone because it's, you know, it's got all these nifty things. And we sometimes forget whether we really need it, and
mm.
we forget about how good some of the traditional things are.
Mm-hmm.
I think we gotta find a balance.
Yeah.
Always
but
chasing for the new consumable, but
mm-hmm.
culture is not consumable, huh?
No,
well,
not at all.
Tradition is the foundation, in mm-hmm. a sense of it, to build whatever that you move for it.
Yes,
foundation.
I like those words. Yeah. Very well put, eh? I like that. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And it's same for any culture.
Yeah.
Actually, when we were talking about it, I remembered this thing. There is a very universal saying. I'm sure Italians say that as well. Families that eat together stay together.
Okay, that's
right.
Interesting. We might
yeah.
have a literal translation. I feel that, you know, food brings people together.
Right. Yes.
Right.
There is something about family that it's definitely you know, crucial
mm-hmm.
and really lives at the core of my culture personally.
Mm-hmm.
Something I feel though is there are some aspects of what we name culture that are universal, and I feel that the concept of family is one of those.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
It's just something so organic, something so powerful that comes from deep within. We every culture, I feel, has a sense of that familiar strength, you know, that familiar magic, that air that you can breathe only when you're with your family. And then family is a big word to explore as well. You know, there's a lot of depth to that word. We can explore and talk about how do you define family? That's a whole different discussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, for sure.
Let's ask that, actually. How do you define family, Lynn? Let's go for it. Why not? Yeah, let's go for it.
Family doesn't necessarily have to be blood relations, actually. It is people who love you and accept you. And, of course, you know, your immediate family that you're born into, that is family. But then you also have families where you have your own tribe, and you call them family because they're people you can count on, because they will accept you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Acceptance, another key word there. Regina, how do you feel about that?
I agree most of what Lynn said, mm-hmm. but I think that's one thing is, family is one thing is, they will do whatever things to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will do that. No matter your family related to blood or related to what we said, like the work environment or any community that you involve with. And I think that's family, if everyone was willing to do each things for each other, helping each other. That's what
it's a it's unconditional.
Yes,
I think the word there is
unconditional.
The unconditional, that unconditional. That's what creates that community, that family back again.
And that's hard to come by.
Yeah.
It's a human need having family.
It is
a human need, and I think more and more so nowadays, people being more open and aware of mental health issues. Often it comes back to, you know, how they were abandoned or abused and not getting the right family support that they could have.
Yeah, that's a very big thematic to explore.
Absolutely.
And we can go really, really deep with that. And I feel that there is a lot of I have a lot of respect for the people that stand up for themselves and go beyond what their family maybe imposed them previously in the past. It's always something to respect, especially if you're not familiar with that. I personally come from an amazing family, and I'm extremely grateful for that. That is like it's very hard to explain with words the gratefulness that I have. But at the same time, I show respect to the people who maybe didn't have that, and maybe they found that in a community that is outside of their blood relations, you know. And I feel that that's when the power of community comes out. When we can cross the boundary and look at each other in the eyes, not at the skin color, not at the hair color, not at the shape, the eyes, because
it's from your heart.
Yes. the eyes are the channel straight to the heart, and the eyes are that line that it's really, if you want to read a person, the eyes are the only way, you know?
Yeah.
All the rest is just an illusion. And that's an interesting thing to explore as well. But again, I think we are about to wrap the second section of the show and the podcast. Yeah, time has been flying in here. And this being said, we're going to the second song, always chosen by our guests. This is the soundtrack of Crazy Rich Asians. We're going on a little bit of a different mood right now. This is Waiting for Your Return by Jasmine Chen. Enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. This is Room Tone, the radio show. We talk movies because we love it, and we might have played the same song twice. We made a double whammy right there. And that's okay. Here we go.
Continue dancing.
Yeah. We still, that upbeat wanted to really get out there, so we made it happen. And this is the time, actually, to go through the Proust questionnaire and the one-minute pitch. We have these two final sections.
Cool.
And we're going to actually start with the one-minute pitch. I would just go right away. Uh-huh. Are you both okay. Ready to make it happen? I'm gonna hit that clock. You ready?
Yes.
And let's go.
Everybody, you should all come out to the Vancouver Asian Film Festival in November 1st to 4th at International Village. That's where you'll see amazing films from around the world by Asian filmmakers featuring Asian actors. We have wonderful films from Asia and also great films from Canadian filmmakers. We have a section called Best Canadian. We have a competition for Best Canadian Shorts and also Best Canadian Features, where filmmakers can have a chance to be awarded. And also we have a lot of local filmmakers who will come on panels to talk to you about their experience and talk about diversity in filmmaking and also their film experience.
Awesome. Oh, sounds great. And that was the Vancouver Asian Film Festival right there, pitched by Lin Lee. Yeah, that was 1 minute. There you go.
Don't forget not to check out the website. VAFF.org. We got cut out.
Okay. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put the link to that website in the description of the podcast as well.
Yay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So that everybody can have access to that. And there was 1 minute right there. And now it's time to go to the Proust questionnaire. Are you both ready?
Sure.
Maybe.
Okay. We're going for it. And usually we pick 5 questions randomly.
Okay.
Out of the 35 questions that Proust wrote down.
Okay.
And he wrote them down believing that they would help finding someone's true identity. So let's see where we're going with this. Let's see where we find ourselves. And the first thing actually I should probably ask over here is, the list goes on and on. It's interesting. How do we want to light this up? Let me go with question number 7. And it goes, what is your current state of mind? Who goes first?
Yeah, I go. Living life.
Living life,
yeah,
yes?
Yeah, or YOLO.
Okay. Look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
Regina passes the word to Lin.
Finding balance.
Balance.
So much happening in my life. I need to find balance.
Mm-hmm. Balance is a word that came out a lot from you today. And I'd love to learn a little bit more about how you managed to find that balance in your life as a festival director, but also as a human being.
Well, I think having friends is very important. Having people that you can talk to and share, to be able to vent, to be able to relax with, and just forget about everything is important. I think having lots of interests is the root of the problem for me, but I think I'm just enjoying the moment, enjoying whatever you're doing, and finding meaning in everything that you do is very important.
Finding meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, having purpose is very important. I feel that I want to be useful. I want to contribute. I want to look back in my life and then think that I haven't wasted my life away. So being able to do that and do things that are purposeful is important.
And you said finding meaning, that's something that lit me up a little bit, because something I've been questioning myself, and finding meaning is probably even different than forging meaning. And I feel that it's a little bit more of a process of forging the meaning, you know. I feel it's a little bit different than lifting up a stone and, you find the meaning. But forging it is definitely a process that takes time, and that's what happens with pain as well. Pain forces you to forge that meaning, and that meaning is what pushes us, as you said, to get to have purpose.
And it also changes throughout life, right?
Absolutely.
Because of your life experiences, you realize I was on this path and now maybe a different path is better suited for you. And so that's why I think we live this long, because it takes forever to find that path.
Ah, that's a very, oh, I like that point of view. Yeah. Do you agree with that? Well, look at that.
Yes and no. You follow some sort of a path, but then you hit like so many roadblocks.
Yeah.
You just have to adopt the word you can and then carry on. Like what you say, forging. You know, it's different than you living, right? It's a little bit different for that. Mm-hmm. So, so it's just my point of view.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy the moment.
Enjoy the moment. Oh, absolutely. All right. And that takes us to the second question of the Proust questionnaire. And this is question number 5. Which living person do you most admire? Tough question, eh?
It is. There's so many. Mm-hmm. I will have to say my mother.
Oh,
I see.
Nice.
Yeah. She is an amazing woman. She's so talented, but I think she is also very brave in that she also gave up a lifelong career. To find happiness, and she could have been very famous and she lived under the limelight for a long time, but she wanted to dedicate her life to her family, and so she took a backseat and basically stayed at home and supported my father and raised me and came here, but she never felt she sacrificed, because she was very much happy, much happier being herself. She reads. She used to be a writer. She reads extensively and she enjoys that. And she picked up new hobbies when she came to Canada. She reinvented herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she, yes, a lot of people are inspired by women who have a lifelong career. And it almost sounds like she's a very traditional woman, but she actually is not. She's the most unconventional woman. She speaks her mind. She's brilliant. But it's so inspiring that she made the choice. Like, mm-hmm. she could do everything, had a career, be a career woman, but she made that choice.
Wonderful. Very interesting to dive a little bit deeper into your life. Very interesting. And Regina, how about you?
Yeah, it's funny, but actually the person that I admire is my dad.
Oh, nice.
That's my father. That's difference, right? So, I mean, yes, I definitely agree what Neen said, like the mother's role in the family.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that like for my dad is always my inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen he's a businessman, been working hard and for the family. And then, but on the other hand, he always have this kind of like, I call it a Buddhist style, in a way. He's so happy all the time, no matter what challenge, what problems that he's facing up, he'll find a way. And then, every time you have a conversation with my dad, and then he will give you that comfortness, that you experience anything tough in your life, and that's why it's always my dad. And then he's actually quite a funny person, and he does an improv as a hobby for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can be like that, it'll be awesome. That's something that why I admire my dad. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a very interesting conversation right there. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I really
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. And with that being said, let's go into another aspect. Let's explore other aspects. And let's go to the third question of the Proust questionnaire. Let's speed it up a little bit. And I want to ask you, what is your motto? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lean, are you going to go first?
Work hard, play hard.
Oh, okay, all right. Are we kidding around here? I don't think so. Okay.
I take play very seriously.
How about you,
Regina? That's true, but I have this one. Is work is work, travel is adventures that matters, from my point of view.
Nice, I like it,
Yeah.
And that leads us to the fourth question of the Proust questionnaire, and that is, what is your most marked characteristic? Most marked, yeah.
So, okay.
how do you feel about that question?
Yeah, Compassion. Yeah, people say that about me. I'm very understanding, and I think a lot of people always say I have a lot of empathy with other people.
Awesome. So, mm-hmm. Nice. How about you, Regina?
Easygoing. Almost all the time. Okay. Because everyone said it. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's
going with the flow.
Definitely true.
Yeah.
Definitely true.
Going with the flow. Going with the way she said it.
No, yeah, no.
All right.
I'm so blessed that Regina is so easygoing.
that's a balance right there. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. I like it. And that leads us to the fifth question of the Proust questionnaire. And that goes, what do you consider your greatest achievement? Mm-hmm. Talking about life and transformation, we gotta reach this question.
I'm trained to be humble. I hate talking about achievements. I think one achievement I have to say I'm pretty proud of. I don't have many enemies at all. and to me, that is important. I think often people say, you know, you shouldn't care about, you know, what people say about you, etc. But I'm Miss Congeniality. I like peace and harmony, mm-hmm. and I like to be that person who maintains harmony amongst everybody. So yes, I would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm, interesting. And Regina, you want to share your slides?
Yeah, for sure. Like I think everyone will have a different achievement moment. Yeah, mm-hmm. Even myself, I would say there's few things, but I always feel that things I will fight for someone that they couldn't speak for themselves, and that's why I'm really key on rescue dogs, and that's a few groups that I belong to. That right?
Awesome.
So I'll keep continuing to fight for that, and that's leading to other projects that I'm working on. Is related to that topic.
That's awesome, yeah. And here we are reaching the end of our episode today.
Okay,
and I think it's the time to ask you, what's your advice to filmmakers? Before we wrap all this up, mm-hmm. what's your advice to young filmmakers out there?
I'll go ahead. I'll say willing to learn from anyone, no matter they have experienced filmmakers or indie filmmakers or young filmmakers, emerging filmmakers, because I think you work on projects together, you will experience the differences, even with experienced filmmakers. And mm-hmm. you learn their style, you learn the technique. But then when you are met with the young filmmakers, they have different ideas.
Yeah.
Then you probably will help your projects to be what is your next step. Work together with different groups.
For sure. And Lynn?
I was actually going to say something else, but this inspired me to go back to what I was saying, work hard, play hard. I think because in this high-tech age where everything is about instant gratification, I think we've all been trained to actually not value hard work and being too impatient to actually just pound the pavement and be patient that to perfect your skills. It actually takes a lot of time. And I find that I notice that sometimes some young people will actually be less patient than they should be to ride that journey. But I also want to say, just don't be afraid to do whatever you want to do, because especially for Asians, traditionally we've been taught, brought up to become professionals, but I think even more and more so I see families encouraging their children to explore their creative side and trust their creative instincts. And so I really think it's very important to go with your instincts and go out and make anything and start anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I like that. All right. Yeah. So patience is a key word right there as well. Mm-hmm. All right. So I say, yes, patience. Ooh, patience. Sorry, another episode. Yes. Well, this being said, we're going to wrap this whole episode up with the soundtrack of Crazy Rich Asians. And this is actually Yellow by Catherine Ho.
Yes.
Any shout outs you want to do before we launch this guy?
I just want to say this is amazing because I'm so excited. This is a cover that was created just for this film. And Catherine Ho was a former contestant on The Voice. And this is in Mandarin. And it's just beautiful how it wrapped up the movie as well. And yeah.
Awesome. All right. This is Yellow by Catherine Ho. This was Room Tone, the radio show that takes filmmaking's community to your ears. Ruggero, your host right here. See you next Monday.
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Hello, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Dave Potter from Palouse.